a good morning. Right, I could go home now. God's spoken, and I'm blessed, and it's good to be here. My wife is away with the children in West Wales, so that's why we're by ourselves. We didn't row this morning, and she said, "I'm not coming to church." Thank goodness. It's not impossible. I don't think it's ever happened, but that's not impossible. It might happen one day if I'm not careful. Got to look after your wives, and also, you don't talk about them when she's away, because one of you will grasp me out, I know. Just why. Okay, let's pray. Father, we love your word, and we love you, and we declare that you are good and faithful God, that you are faithful and able to do what you promised and said. And today, Lord, I pray that you would speak into the hearts of people that they hear your voice, that it's not a voice of man, but a voice of God that speaks through a man. Father, I come to you in my humility and my weakness and my foolishness, and I say, Lord, just help me. Help me share, help me deliver. Father, you're just so gracious to us as a church and a body. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a Bible, do you want to turn to Romans chapter 12? Excuse me. Romans 12, verse 1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So Paul equates worship in the Christian life to presenting yourselves as a living sacrifice. So you don't have to die on an altar, but you have to live on an altar. And the best way to describe it is that we live a prayer every day, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Just like Jesus did in the garden. He said, if there be any other will, Lord, but not my will, your will be done. So God is looking for us to do his will and become a living sacrifice. But then the question is, well, how do I know what the will of God is? So the Bible says, it says here in Romans chapter 12, it says, do not be conformed to this world. So don't be shaped by what the world thinks, says, and does, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So my mind is renewed. I change the way I think, so I start to think like God. What God thinks about me, I think about myself differently. I think about my future differently. I think about life differently, because God wants us to transform the way we think. And by transforming the way we think, it says we can test and prove the will of God. And then if we find out what the will of God is, we come back to the start and we sacrifice or live that will. So we've got to change the way we think. So we're transformed by the renewal of our minds. And I'm just going to be teaching the next few months on the renewal of the mind. So last week I gave you two key truths. Like number one, your prayer has great power in its working. James chapter 5. So I'm not going to go over it, but I'll tell you a story. So most of us know about George Muller. George Muller was a German who came to Bristol, and he set up some orphanages. And he, at one point, he had 2,000 children. This is before the council had care for children in the way they do now. But he had 2,000 children come into his orphanages in the 1870s. You know, to feed 2,000 children is a lot of money. To house them is a lot of money. I mean, the council can do with a lot more George Mullers coming along and saying, I'll pay the bill for 2,000 children in care. So anyway, that's what he did. But he did it by faith. So he's praying one day. He needs a specific sum of money. And he's praying for this specific sum of money. And he's up late night waiting for the person to bring the money. And in the same city, there's a famous preacher preaching in Bristol called Charles Spurgeon. And Spurgeon is preaching in Bristol. And he's talking about his orphanages in London. And he takes an offering. And the offering is £312. Takes this offering for £312. He takes it back to his hotel or his lodgings and he counts it up. And £312 is an enormous sum in 1870. It's £35,000 You know, we were pleased before from last night, but this is £35,000, same value, spending power. And he just feels like God says, give it to George Muller. £35,000 for his orphans. He says, well, Lord, it wasn't given for George Muller's orphans. He was given for my orphans. And it just troubled him. And God said, the orphans are mine. So just after 10, he gets dressed. He goes down. He knows where Muller lives. And there's a candle or there's a light on. And he knocks the door. And Muller opens the door. And he says, well, I knew somebody was coming, but Mr. Spurgeon, I'm so surprised to see you at my door. And Spurgeon gets this envelope out and he says, let me tell you what's in the envelope, £312. Opens it, £312, and Spurgeon is just amazed. Spurgeon goes back to London. On his desk there is an envelope with a letter, and in the letter there is a check for £312. Only God. Our God answers prayer. And if you can get that, you'll pray more. If you can get that, you'll pray more. But we've got to change the way we think to God doesn't answer my prayers. He only answers Alex's or the pastor's or George Muller's or Spurgeon's. Or No. God answers prayer. The second thought we said was we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Philippians 4 verse 13. So I'll take you back five more years, 1865, on a beach in Brighton. Hudson Taylor's on a beach in Brighton, and God says, go to China. No, he doesn't say go to China, he says go back to China. And so Hudson Taylor had come back from China because of his ill health. He had been a missionary in China as a young man. He's about 35 now, but because of ill health, he comes back. And he's on a beach in Brighton. No money, no organization, no support, nothing but a word from God. Go back. His health is poor. But God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that young man, within a year, 21 missionaries had gone to China, and he had raised £2,000, which is £181,000 in a year to finance it. Across nearly 100 years, the China Inland Mission changed the shape of China. The biggest church in the world is in China. We don't want China. We want Wales. We don't have much money. We don't have a great organization. We don't have a track record of success. We're in poor health compared to some churches, maybe. But see, it's not about us. It's about God. And if God calls us to do something amazing for him, we'll do something amazing. And let me give you notice, he's calling us to do something amazing. From this place, from this church, from this town. Can anything good come out of Bridgend? Yes. Absolutely. You've come out of Bridgend. Don't you know, you're looking good. See Bob looking at Kelly saying she's looking good. So we've got some new thoughts. But I want to say this. Faith works. Faith works. We can live as Christians in the natural realm, and that works because there is the law of sowing and reaping. So if you live according to God's laws, things go better for you. It's just the law of sowing and reaping. But God wants to take us beyond the law of sowing and reaping into the law of faith. And faith creates and changes things. Faith works. We're called to please God by faith. We're called to walk by faith. We're called to live by faith. Faith is what God rewards. He wants us to take us further because the law of sowing and reaping works for everybody, everywhere, anywhere, because it is in the creation. What faith does is it brings God into our created world supernaturally. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I mean, firstly, you've got to trust he's there. Here I'm saying, prayer works, prayer works, prayer works. But it starts by trusting God's there. It's impossible to please him without faith. And then that he rewards those who seek him. By seeking by faith, there is a reward. What is the reward? Well, we've been singing it. God is faithful and able to do that which he has promised. That's the reward. Faith works. Had a man come into my office a number of months ago, and he just looked a broken man. Just, you know, just in desperate need. Can't pay his mortgage and just needs, just. So we sit down and I say, you've got to do this by faith. And we prayed, and I was just talking to him recently, and just everything's turned around. Everything's turned around because faith turns things around. Faith works. What happens is we trust God, and then time tests us to build character until we see what he's promised manifest. Turn to James chapter 1 with me. Just a few pages over, isn't it? James chapter 1. So a lot of you are in this place called the test of faith. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. So whatever you're going through right now, let's consider it joy. You can still praise him. Like Fiona said just at the beginning, just go back to the basics. He saved me. He's called me. He's washed me. I'm in the family, for goodness sake. I'm in God's family. That's a start, isn't it? Let's give joy for that. Now, it might be that everything else is falling apart, but if that's true, circumstances are subject to change. But God's word is eternal. And people get tested, and testing produces character. But what happens in the testing is you have a choice. Do I back off and go back to normal Christian life where the law of sowing and reaping is in operation as it operates for everyone? If I do the right things, you know, I'll get the right result. Or do we go supernatural and we say, I want to go beyond the law of sowing and reaping. I want to see my mother healed from cancer. I want to go beyond the law of sowing and reaping. I want to see Jessica stay in university. I want to go beyond the law of sowing and reaping. I want to see God move now. Choice. I had a lady talk to me just in February, disheartened. Hoping God would change everything immediately. And it just hadn't happened. And her attitude was this. It doesn't work for me. I'll believe in Jesus. I'll never deny him. But this faith stuff isn't working for me. Do you know what's coming out of her mouth? Faith. It isn't working for her. She is getting exactly what she believes. Do you know what comes out of my mouth? It works every time. What am I seeing? Things change. Now, I'm not knocking her. I had compassion for her. But if you are in that place, it doesn't work for me, then that is a lie from the pit of hell. You are believing the lie of the enemy. That's why Jesus says, will he find faith on the earth when he returns? God wants us to be walking by faith, living by faith, seeing great exploits happen. And the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What is he trying to steal from you? What God wants for you. There is a testing of your faith. It produces character. But ends in manifestation. Do you know, I have changed the most in the fiery furnace of life. And the least when everything's going just hunky-dory. I like the hunky-dory moments, I really do. I don't want fire. But sometimes God puts me through the fire to change me so I can be complete, perfect, lacking nothing. Faith works. Turn to your neighbor and say, faith works. Faith, and faith's really practical. Do you know, I've been married a long time. I can't talk to you about that because Jane's not here. You know that. But I can talk to you about kitchens. We move into this house and our kitchen is, it's okay. You know, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with our kitchen. It's okay. But 15 years of later, what was okay, to me, is still okay. It's a kitchen. It works. But I don't have the eye to notice the cupboard door that's cracked, or the drawer that's broken, or the this that doesn't shut, or, and I don't work or live in the okay kitchen. To Jane, it is a disgrace and a humiliation, and she doesn't want people to come into her kitchen, because, I mean, look at it. Yeah, it's okay. See how men and women are different? So Jane wants a new kitchen. And she's been going on about new kitchens for a little while. I won't say how long, a little while. And I said, well, we've got to use some faith, because I haven't got any money. Let's call the kitchen man up. So we brought the kitchen man up, and he was wondered, the kitchen men are special, aren't they? They have this charisma. They just know how to get you to say yes, yes. You'd like, would you like chrome handles or just the dull plastic ones? Oh, of course we want chrome. Well, they're only £250 extra. What's £250 to a wife with a perfect kitchen, you know? And just, you know, and so at the end of the exercise, which was to convince my wife she needed the kitchen for what was okay, we needed, you know, to spend all this money. He said, Mr. Ashton, you can have this kitchen today for, I can't remember what it was, £120, £130 a month for 60 months. And you can make your wife the happiest. Well, he didn't say that, but I knew he was thinking. I knew he was, you know. But here's a principle I live by. I don't do things with borrowed money. This kitchen is okay for 50 years before I borrow money. I don't know if Jane would say that, but I'd say that. So I could see my Jane with her... I'm talking about her. Don't say anything. With her puppy eyes, we can afford the payment of £125 a month. We can afford the payment. We can afford... Yes, we can afford the payment. I don't do things with borrowed money. Because the Bible says the lender, or the borrower, is the lender's slave. Now, I don't believe it's wrong to lend or borrow. It's not sin. But you should realize debt is your enemy. Avoid it if you can. Okay, I'm not having to go at anybody who's got a car loan. I've had car loans before or a mortgage. I've still got my mortgage. I'm killing it, though. But you know, so off he goes. I got my puppy-eyed wife to... I said, let's use some faith. Let's use some faith. And we started to believe God. And money started to come to us. And 6-8 months later, Matthew's his name. Oh, he's charming. I want to put him on staff here, you know, sort of evangelist for the church. Great. Matthew was in my house, or we were down the showroom signing for the kitchen because we had money in the bank. Now, let me tell you, we had to wait. There was a testing. I knew it was coming. Because faith produces promises. And I just want to encourage you, use faith. If Matthew comes to your house, remember, he's not after your best, he's after his commission. Faith works. Faith in God's word allows you to change your future and change your family tree. You know, if your family tree is divorce, unemployment, rebellious children, debt, paycheck to paycheck living, habitual sins, addictions, poor health, fear, depression, the list goes on and on and on. If that's what's in your family, faith in Christ allows you to change your future. Things don't have to be the same. You don't have to be poor because your family was always poor. You don't have to be an adulterer because your dad was always an adulterer. You don't have to live the way your family line came. You can change your family by faith. Faith works. I want to help you renew the way you think about your future. But you have to understand you do this by faith. So three new thoughts. So you've had two, three. And the thing is, you've got to get them from here into here. Because when they get in there, it becomes real to you. Thought number one. God has created me to be fruitful, to grow and increase. So if you turn to John chapter 15. And while you're doing that, while you're turning to John chapter 15, let me read you Genesis chapter 1. God blessed them, man and woman. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living creature that works and moves on the earth. The original blessing of God on man is be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. That's the blessing of God, God's original blessing. He's created man to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth. So of course it's God's will that you be fruitful, you multiply and you fill. But then Jesus comes along. Because sin has just tarnished and changed everything. We've wrecked this world because of sin. And Jesus came to save us from our sins. And we understand that. But then he says this in John 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. We are fruit bearers. We have been called to bear fruit. We're not like, well, you know, nobody really believes in Jesus, so we better have Lance and Michelle in the club because they're prepared to believe. You know, it's like, no, I want them in my family. I'm picking them first. I choose them. And then so we get in and we get saved from our sins. And depending on our background and how it's like some of us just, we just feel so miserable that we can't do anything in life. And some of us are so full of themselves, I sort of fell into the full of themselves category. That, you know, I'm doing God a favor coming into the church. And we find that he has to change us both. You know, bring us to a place where he chose us. I can do nothing without him, but he wants me to be fruitful. So God's called me to be fruitful. So I should be fruitful in prayer. I should be fruitful in my marriage. I should be fruitful in my home. I should be fruitful with my children and my family. I should expect to be fruitful in ministry, in life, fruitful on mission, fruitful in the workplace, fruitful in church, fruitful in the nations. It's just like, I'm a fruit-bearing Christian. That's my future. God has chosen me to bear fruit. Have you ever been in a situation where it doesn't look like you're bearing fruit, though? So, 23 years ago, I went up to Mystag to be a congregation pastor of Mystag Christian Center with about 25 people. No, it was probably about 30 people on my first Sunday, and by Sunday 2, it was 25, and by Sunday 3, it had probably gone down a little bit further. And if it wasn't for some people from here coming up, just helping. It would just mean it's like complete disaster. Just did my best. Small congregation. It was hard. I preached the word of faith and people just look at me. And it was difficult. And I was doing my best. Yet the church wasn't growing. We saw a few people saved. And we give thanks for everyone we saw saved. But it wasn't really what I was hoping for. And we saw just as many leave that came. And I'm just trying to do my best. God spoke to me during that season out of Job chapter 8, if you'd like to turn to that. It's right in the middle of your Bible. And the advice Bildad gave Job is the advice God gave me. So I'm pastoring a small congregation. It's a valleys community. It's like I went from Hong Kong to Porthcawl to Bridgend to Mystag. And it's just like I did my best and I love people, but maybe I wasn't the right man. I don't know. I'm feeling like, what am I doing here? Job chapter 8, verse 5. If you will seek God and plead with the Almighty for mercy, if you are pure and upright, surely then he will rouse himself for you and restore your rightful habitation. And though your beginning was small, your latter days will be very great. And God said, Alex, these are small beginnings, but your latter days are going to be very great. Everything with God starts with a seed. It's just a thought. It's a seed. God put something in your mind. Let's do this. But if we do what he says, if we're faithful by faith and we keep letting him order our steps, that seed becomes a tree. If you have the seed of the faith of a mustard seed and you plant it, that seed becomes a tree. And then that tree becomes a forest. And that forest covers the whole earth. And though our beginnings are small, and for some people this is a small beginning, yet our latter end will greatly increase. What does my future look like? Great increase. That's good advice. That sustained a young, disappointed, despondent pastor trying to plow a furrow in the valleys. Everything in God starts small. The church is like that. Our walk of faith is like that. Our beginnings are always small. But if we stick with it, our latter end greatly increases. God has created you to be fruitful, to grow, to increase. What does your future look like with God? Fruitful, growth, increase. Whatever I'm doing, fruitful, growth, increase. It's like with Jo over there, she's increased. She's brought a new grandchild. You know, family's going to increase. My family's going to be fruitful. What does your future look like? Fruitful. Didn't you never say, my future is fruitful? My future is fruitful. My future is fruitful. More fruitful, great. But when I think about my future, what does it look like? Fruit. Great. Because I'm walking with God. The second thought then, new thought. God will turn everything around for your good. Turn to Romans chapter 28, chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28. It says this. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purposes. There's something about God that will turn everything around. See, that you've got to understand, circumstances are subject to change. Amen? Circumstances are subject to change, but God's word is eternal. If God said it, I believe it, settled. So I believe God wants you to prosper. But you might be up to your eyes in debt. That's subject to change. You start operating God's kingdom laws in your finance. That's subject to change. But you know, God prospering you, wanting to prosper you, is never subject to change. That's always the truth. Just think about it. You know, he turns things around. He'll turn things around for you. He'll turn things around for me. He will do it. All things. So have you ever said, why is this happening to me? I don't know the last time I said, why is this happening to me? Because it's not clever to say that. Why not? Do you want it to happen to somebody else? Can you see what I'm saying? It's like, stuff happens is what I mean. Life's like this. So I can't change what has happened, but I can trust God to turn around what has happened. You know, it's like I could have been saying, well, why am I the only pastor in South Wales getting sued for righteousness? I thought, well, praise God. Going to get a testimony out of this one. Think about it. God always turns it around. Jesus on the cross. The apostles looking at Jesus, the whole world has died, the future has died, the kingdom hasn't come, everything's, and it just looks like death. And sometimes you look at what you're going through and it just looks like death. But wherever there's death that does not conform to the will of God, resurrection is coming. Jesus risen from the dead. Moses, 40 years in the wilderness, you know, he had this, I'm going to be the deliverer of my nation, I'm going to get the Jews out of the people of Israel out of Egypt, 40 years on the backside of the desert, and God turns it around with a burning bush. Paul and Silas stuck in prison, beaten. God turns it around with an earthquake. Joseph stuck in prison, God turns it around with a supernatural dream. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go through the fire with the fourth man in the fire. Who is that fourth man? God turns it around with the fourth man. All things. Every tear, every pain, every problem, every difficulty. All things he turns around for our good. If we love him and we follow the call. So the first thought is you're called to be fruitful. The second thought is God turns it around. Whatever you're going through, God turns it around. God turns it around. God turns it around. You are not a victim. Get over it. He is victorious. I'm victorious. Victor should have been my name. Great name. Victorious. So, the third thing then is this. What does my future look like, Alex? No fortune telling in church is against the Bible to fortune tell. But to declare the word of God is different. Goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. Now, thought number three is good things are in my future. God's got good things stored up for me. God's chasing me down. Let's look at Psalm 23, verse 6. We sing it at all these funerals, and we read it at funerals, and sometimes it comes up at weddings. It's one of the most well-known psalms in Christendom. But it says this in verse 6. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I expect good things to happen to me. One of my daughters took me aside and said, Dad, it's kind of embarrassing. What's embarrassing, darling? Well, you keep on going about the good things that happen to you, and it feels like you're boasting. And I know you're not trying to boast, and it's kind of embarrassing. And I go, oh, I'm just boasting in God. And if I come over as boasting, I'm just happy. I'm happy in God that he does some things for me that are just so amazing. But goodness follows me. Now, that word follow is really important, okay? Because you know when you follow somebody in a car, you never overtake them. You just keep following. Well, it doesn't mean follow somebody in a car. It's used in Hebrew to hunt down animals like deer. So it's to follow, hunt down, overtake, and kill. So God wants to follow us, hunt us down, overtake us, and lavish his goodness on us and mercy. That's what that scripture means. So we should expect good things to happen. Good things happen to me all the time. I want to tell you about something. My daughter's not here. I can't embarrass her, and I don't care what you think, but I'm going to tell you anyway. One of the nicest things anybody's ever done for me, it's just like, you know, what do you want for your birthday, Alex? Games. Games and socks and maybe some pants. And, you know, games, socks, hankies, pants. I'm boring. It's like, and so for my birthday, I'm about to turn 50. And this is like one of the nicest things that somebody's ever done for me. It was a complete surprise. Is that a friend said, I'm going to take you out. He picks me up, takes me for food, and drives me to a concert. Took me to a concert. And it was a Dire Straits tribute band. The only concert I have ever regretted in my life not going to was to see Dire Straits in the National Stadium in 92-3 or whenever they came. We just didn't have any money. I had to settle for a Dire Straits CD for Christmas. I couldn't go and see them. And it was just amazing. And they were great. It was a great concert. And we had rock and roll ice cream, which I haven't got time to tell you about, but we're eating our rock and roll ice cream, and I say to him, and this person's not yet a Christian, I say, God has just, you've provided the goodness of God to me, something like that, and the response was, well, you might say that, Alex, but I certainly wouldn't, but in my little head and world, it's like God was thinking, what's the best thing I can do for my son, Alex, and he drops the thought into the mind of a friend who takes me to see Dire Straits. Now, for you, going to see a Dire Straits tribute act is just like, get a life. But for me, it was the goodness of God. And I just expect good things to happen. And you know, sometimes they're little things. Like, I had this email. Manchester United are going to play AC Milan in the Principality Stadium in August. I can't remember what it was for. And I can't go. I can't go. It's a sellout. But they said, do I want to buy some tickets? So I emailed Bob over there. And Bob is a nut for United. And Bob's been to Old Trafford on a tour of the stadium. I mean, who would go to see a stadium tour of Old Trafford? Not me. And so it's like, Bob, do you want to go and see United? Yeah. How many tickets do you want me to get? How many can I have? And it's like the goodness of God on Bob. He's never been to see Manchester United. It's a heart's desire. Is it 10? 10 of you going? 8. 8 of them going. It's just like. So that's the little things. There's big things as well. And I would really embarrass my daughter if I started talking about some of our big things. I don't want to boast about what God's done for us. I want to inspire you to think God can do things for you. You know, God knows. There's no circumstance that's fixed. Circumstances are subject to change, but goodness is in my future. Whether you're from Iran or from the UK, the word is the same. Goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. And here's what happens in our churches. I get up here and I say, goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. And you go, oh, that's wonderful. Praise the Lord, it's in the Bible. And the devil comes and says, well, what about Christians in Sudan? Oh, yeah, what about Christians in Sudan? They're really suffering. They're persecuted. Can't get jobs. And what the enemy is trying to do is take the word away from you. What does the Bible say? Do you know any Sudanese Christians? No. Okay, thank you. What does the Bible say then? Goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. I know somebody, they were faithful. They gave. Went to every meeting. They were always poor and they died poor. What's the Bible say? Not what did you, how do you know? See, you're making judgments on what you're seeing externally. And faith doesn't move on what it sees. Faith moves on what God says. That's the big difference. We walk by faith, not by sight. See, I might be the only Christian in this room experiencing the goodness of God all the days of my life. I might be. But we can all be. Because it's not based on your circumstances or my circumstances. It's based on what God says. Good things happen to us all the time. You know, how can I say it? Well, I just did. Good things happen to us. I mean, something amazing happened to me on Friday at the auction. I was so blessed and I can't tell you. But I went home and I said, look what God has done for us. Excited my wife. We live in a natural world, but God wants us to have moments when we can say, there is a God in heaven and he knows my name. And then we can articulate what God is doing. God is interested in your life. God is interested in where you are. God wants you to experience and have his goodness. There is a God in heaven and he knows my name. So what does the future look like? Good things happen. Good things happen to me all the time. That's my future. Does that mean you never have any problems? What do you mean I never have any problems? We're always going to have challenges and problems and difficulties. We're always going to be facing mountains, but faith removes mountains. Hebrews 10, verse 26. Right at the beginning, Claire came and she said, he who promised is faithful. I think that was really good because what she didn't know is I was going to read it to you. Hebrews 10, verse 26 says this. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You've got to hold fast to this stuff. Do you know, it's like you believe in God for your son to be saved or your daughter to be saved, And so you come to church and Alex preaches a really good message on believing for your kids to get saved. And then you go home and they come home at 3 a.m, can't get in because they've lost their key, and you find them drunk on the mat. And you go, this boy or girl will never get saved. What are you doing? You are just having your confession taken away from you, and you are speaking what you see. God wants us to speak what we see in the Word. Hold fast. I tell this story a lot, so it's one of the ones you've heard a lot. Christmas, I'm preaching, goodness and mercy follow you. The dishwasher breaks, the toilet breaks. You've got to fix toilets when they break. It's important, particularly at Christmas. And then I put a ladder through the shed window. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. And my house is falling apart. And I'm in the kitchen, and I'm a big boy, and big boys don't cry. And I'm looking at my wife, and I want to cry. I want to burst into tears. And I say to her, I grab her by the hands, and I say, goodness and mercy follow us. We're going to believe God. I didn't change my confession. And guess what happened? The toilet got fixed, the dishwasher got fixed, and the shed window got fixed. It's just stuff happens. But one Christmas, I sent my first selfie ever. Have you ever sent selfies? I'm not a selfie type of guy. You know, I mean, I haven't got a face for selfies. You know, I'd have to get it sort of, you know, do something to it. You know, it'd be my face with somebody else's body, and I'm not a selfie guy, but I sent a selfie to my kids. I'm sitting in first class on my way to Hong Kong. The stewardess comes up. She says, would you like some champagne, Mr. Ashton? I don't drink it, but I'll have it. So I get this glass of champagne, and I've never taken a selfie in my life. I'm taking this selfie to the kids. Goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life. Okay, let me just explain. My dad lives in Hong Kong, and he used to come back every year or every 18 months to come and see us. But he got a bit older, and he doesn't like traveling so much now, so he just doesn't come back. And God knew that was going to happen. And God knew that my salary, what I earn here, isn't quite enough to fly me to Hong Kong every so often. So God's got to fix something because I need to see my dad. So he puts it in the heart of my brother to go and work for Virgin Atlantic. So he doesn't know this, but Greg is working for Virgin Atlantic so I can go and see my dad. You know, if I'd stayed a doctor, this wouldn't have happened. God said, just use your wages. And so off I go. And do you know what it costs me to go first class to Hong Kong? Taxes. Taxes. Do you know what that means? Nothing but what the tax is to get in the country. And you know, if I had £5,000 in my bank account, I would not spend that on a first class ticket. I'd go cattle class, and I'd sooner give it away than give it to Virgin Atlantic. And God knew that too. But he likes me. And he thinks, do you know, it'd be really cool if I sent my son Alex first class to Hong Kong. And he's too much of a good steward to spend money on champagne and beds and pajamas that they give you in first class. So I'll just send him first class anyway. You can't complain. It's only, I don't know, £150 or something. But can you just see how good God is? Why does this happen to Alex? Because it says it in the Word. Why doesn't it happen to me? It will, if you trust God. Now, you might not get the first class ticket and champagne and pajamas and bed to Hong Kong. You know, because it doesn't say what the goodness looks like and what you need and where he wants to. But good things will start to happen to you. Let us expect God to do good things in our life. Wow, I don't even, what time is it? Ooh. I love Jesus. I really do. I've got like half a sermon to preach. But I'm coming back next week. I'm back here next week, and I've got more to say. But think about it. Your future is full of good things. What does your future look like? It is full of good things. What does your future look like? It is fruitful. What does your future look like? This hell I'm living in is going to be turned around by the power of God. What does your future look like? Glory, glory, glory. And we'll talk about that next week. So can we just stand? I think we should sing one more song. Just be a few minutes. We won't let Kelly go really crazy. I'll just keep you for a few minutes. Kelly, do you want to come up? Let's sing the goodness of God again. Let's just declare that as our faith statement. Good things are going to happen in my house. Good things are going to happen in your house. Good things are going to happen to this church. Goodness of God follows me all the days of my life. Amen. So Father, should we just stand together? Father, we just come to you and we want to just thank you for your goodness to us. Father, we want to thank you that you're always working. And Father, those who are going through tough situations, we thank you, you're going to turn them around. For those who feel barren, we thank you, you're going to make them fruitful. And Father, we thank you that your goodness follows us all the days of our life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I love you, Lord.